Blog Talk Radio.
And a happy new year to everybody out there. Let's hope 2013 can be a banner year for everybody living and breathing in this world right now. The end of 2012 was very sad, and it affected me in very deep, deep ways. Everyone knows that, everyone knows that Norm is a great big Second Amendment rights person, and I've never even pretended that the reason I want the right to own arms is so that I can be a hunter or a target shooter or protect, you know, some mythical historical right. I want a gun so I can defend myself against the government if it ever gets to the point where that needs to be done, as it had become in 1776. That belief was shaken terribly in Newtown, Connecticut. Those little human beings, and we're going to call them babies like some people do, Al Sharpton, they shot our babies. They were little human beings. They didn't even have their second teeth. They didn't even have their second teeth. Very few of them had even lost any of their first teeth. How can you just shoot down little kids like that? I don't know where I am on gun control anymore. Yes, they should be controlled. There's no question about that. But how can we do it? If you can control who has them, you can keep track of who has them. And if you can keep track of who has them, then there really are no deterrent anyway. to an oppressive government. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. But I'm going to spend a lot of time trying to find it. I teach school every day. I'm going to teach school tomorrow. I guess the price of freedom is the fact that somebody could walk in there and shoot at me. And it's not like gun violence hasn't touched my family. My daughter has been an innocent bystander in a mall when two armed individuals started shooting at each other. One was a police officer, an FBI agent, in fact. Another time, from woods across the street from her school, two men took a pot shot, well, not a pot shot, an aimed shot, and shot a 12-year-old boy that very easily could have been my daughter. It wasn't. Gun violence is everywhere. Last night, for instance, I went to see Durango. It's an hour and a half of pure violence. Human beings being violent to other human beings. All of it historically accurate as having happened, but to see it put into a 48-hour time span like it was during that movie made you wonder if maybe we're all insane. Maybe we are, if that's how we treat each other. Anyway, hey, I got a guest in the chat room. Hey, 0945, how are you? Now, the big question is, who's going to be the first in-person caller to the 2013 version of the Norm at Night show? The number is still 347-945-6713. Somebody give me a call and you be number one. We're in the 80,000s, folks. 80,000, actually, over 81,000 people have listened to this show. If you would have ever told me that I would be closing in on 1,000 listens, 100,000 listens at the start of this year, that's 10 to the 5th, 100,000 listens on the start of this year, I just wouldn't have believed you. And I'm really glad. And I hope that, as crazy as I can sometimes sound, that you will always be able to engage in the discussion of ideas here on the Norm at Night show. But anyway, guns. Let's move from guns. Even as we talk here on New Year's Day, believe it or not, the House of Representatives of the United States, and this is still the sitting Congress, and not the new one. It doesn't come into office until January 3rd. So guys like Alan West and others will be voting tonight. And they are voting on avoiding the fiscal cliff, essentially. They played a political shenanigan. And after some huffing and puffing on Eric Cantor's part, I mean, the man, I don't understand Eric Cantor. I never can. I never will. I never will. I don't know why. If he wants to end the United States, he should just say, "I want to end the United States." And that's a possibility. That's out there, folks. There's nothing written in stone about the United States of America. Nothing written in stone whatsoever. But anyway, there'll be the House of Representatives will be voting tonight on a bill. Let's just back off here a little bit. This is a tax bill. It clearly states in the Constitution of the United States of America that any bill that deals with taxes or revenue must originate in the House of Representatives. Well, we all know what happened to a bill, the last bill that originated in the House of Representatives. They hadn't even voted. So now they've made a mockery of the whole system because the House had passed a bill earlier on and sent it over to the Senate, and it just sat there. The Senate Majority Leader simply refused to allow the bill to move forward and be voted on in the Senate. It would have been very interesting, but he wouldn't even let it come to the floor. So then he and McConnell, like his name is slipping me, the Senate Majority Leader, the guy from Nevada, what's his name? Harry Reid. Is that it? Yeah, Senator Reid. So anyway, he and McConnell get together and they pull a parliamentary sleight of hand, which just makes a mockery of all the rules. They take this Senate or this bill that the House sent over, which they never acted on, and they throw the whole thing out except for the fact that the bill exists. And they write a new bill and put it in this husk of a bill supposedly passed by the House of Representatives. Then they take this bill and send it back to the House for the House's action on it. And the House is going to vote. Well, they're probably, supposedly, the vote was supposed to be about 9 o'clock, and I'll try to find out if that vote is actually taking place yet. But they made a mockery of the Constitution. This isn't how it was supposed to be done. It's parliamentary trickery. It's nobody having carrying anything between their legs where they got the guts to vote on something and have it out with each other and take a position and let the voters decide. It makes me angry. Very angry. And it's going to pass. And Barack Obama's no different than any of the other ones. You know, the Republicans, they made this goddamn mess. The big presidents that exploded the deficit. Ronald Reagan. George Bush the first. George Bush the second was the worst of all. And then it's Democrats who want to destroy the country. We should have some spending cuts, all right, but none of it should be in social welfare. It should be in the Department of Defense. We don't need a standing army of 2 million men, or a standing armed forces of over 2 million men and women. What do we need that for? Who are we fighting? We're not fighting anyway. We can't even beat a bunch of people who are barely out of the Stone Age. But anyway, that's not even relevant. It's this parliamentary procedure, or this parliamentary sleight of hand, that's made us all just, I don't know. I just don't know anymore. Why don't you give me a call? Be the first caller of 2013. 347-945-6713 is the number. I know we're all probably recovering from New Year's Eve. I went to see Durango and had dinner, came home and watched the ball drop. I guess that's what you do when you're in your 60s. Of course, I haven't been feeling well, which is why, well, last Tuesday was Christmas. I just couldn't bring myself to do a show on Christmas. Maybe I should have. I don't know. But what else is on your mind? The number is 347-945-6713. Or if you want to come into chat room and chat with me, I'll relay the ongoing chat room calls to the country or the listeners at large. So, 2013, what am I going to do? Well, I can tell you one thing I'm not going to put on my resolution this year. I'm not going to go out and try to buy an assault rifle. They're $800 to begin with. I mean, who's got $800 they can just throw around on a rifle? I mean, I don't hunt. Although if I did hunt, I think I'd use a bow and arrow. So, you know, to try to take me back to, some atavistic time. I don't want a gun to hunt. I want a gun to defend myself against the atrocities of government. But we already had that. I've been on here about 20 minutes now talking to myself. Why doesn't somebody give me a call? 347-945-6713. I'm thinking of adding a segment to the show where I'm going to go and find a bunch of blues music and maybe just play 15 minutes of blues songs that are all under, of course, copyright, open source copyright. I am starting school tomorrow. I'm kind of excited about it. It should be very interesting. But resolutions. What am I going to do in 2013? Well, I'm going to lose some more weight. I hope to be under 250 by June. That's 30 pounds in 4 months. I think I can do that. Actually, it's closer to 35, but we'll still give it a shot. You know, I got to. Otherwise, somebody's going to inherit my listener list and be doing the show. If I don't lose some weight, you better go buy the shovels because you'll be putting me in the ground soon. But anyway, oh, that's not nearly as, what's the word I'm looking for, as morbid as you would think it is. But I'm going to write every day in 2013. There's no question in my mind about it. I don't know if it'll be fiction. I don't know if it'll be on my blogs. I don't know what it will be, but I am going to write every day. I don't know how long. I'm going to do some really interesting things in school. I'm going to build a railroad with all my students. We are going to build a railroad. We're going to build a slot car track. We're going to learn to program in Python. We're going to do some explorations of role-playing games, both on the world, I mean, face-to-face, analog role-playing versions, and maybe computer versions of the same game. And that should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I did get a diplomacy game. We're going to use the GURPS generic universal role-playing system, and hopefully we'll create one of our own. I'm going to have some of our Warcraft experts teach me how to play Warcraft at a level that I would not be ashamed of, as I've been in my past encounters with the game. Maybe some EverQuest, but simulation games in general. I just want to make a learning stew rather than little individual places. If anybody's interested, by the way, you can go to my blog, which you'll find, one of my blogs, which you'll find at sft-tdp3.blogspot.com. Where I try to come up with or explore some of the ideas that already exist out there as to what exactly is transdisciplinary study. I'm looking forward to that. God, I got a lot of things on my plate here in 2013, don't I? And I really want to try to find out some way to make mathematics non, if you would, non-academic, you know, to where it really is useful for something we do. I hope maybe we can do some robotics programming, get together with the electronics group. Maybe we can do some Lego, what do you call that stuff? Mindstorms, where we create some robots, maybe enter some competitions. That would be a lot of fun. But we'll see where that goes as the year blunders on. I had some wild ideas. And it may, who knows, get me censored and try to care. Well, I'm just not going to be an asshole about it. I promise that. I can be an asshole, and I have been in the past. But I'm not going to do that anymore. Hey, guest 10945, why don't you give us a call at 347-945. 6713, and we'll see if we can't have a conversation here. I am going to go through a school year. Hey, I got a call coming in. Hold on. Hey, you're the first one for 2013 on the Norman Knight Show. Go ahead.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How are things out there in the Bay Area?
Not bad. Looks like the rain stopped for another week or so we can dry out a little bit.
So Have a happy new year.
Yeah, I actually fell asleep before it happened, so
that's what happened.
I don't celebrate that. I haven't done that in years, you know.
Yeah, I went out and saw the Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, that's sort of controversial, isn't it?
It's very interesting. Except it has a terrible historical inaccuracy.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
This is one that there's no excuse for. This isn't an exaggeration. This is just not bothering to look it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's just say that dynamite plays a large role in the movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see where DiCaprio plays a total fleaze bag, apparently. And, you know.
Samuel L. Jackson is very good.
Yeah, he's.
But I know who the guy who plays the German dentist bounty hunter. I don't know who he is. I've never heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Was exquisite.
Well,
oh, he was the movie. Mm. And you know, Jamie Foxx, he just played a thug.
Mm.
You know, and it's easy to play a thug.
Yeah, I guess so.
He didn't add a lot of dimension to it.
Mm.
But that's here and there. As far as the things they did to slaves, all the things that happened in the movie did happen to some degree. But to see them all happen in a 36-hour period is pretty astounding.
Yeah.
But the problem, they set the movie in 1858. There was no dynamite in 1858.
Yeah, well, you know, Tarantino. Did you ever see the film Inglourious Basterds?
You know, why do I know that film?
He took tremendous license in terms of history. There was just nothing, you know.
I don't mind license. No, but this wasn't license. This was inaccuracy.
Uh-huh.
And it's really unfortunate. Well, I guess the chances of three people in the theater besides me knowing that are probably zero anyway. You may know. You know a lot of. Does Tarantino always have a role in one of his movies?
No, I'm not aware of that, no.
Well, he's got a small role in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, I was Hitchcock-esque.
Yeah, I don't know. Would be interesting to find out, I guess.
I'm glad I went. It was extremely violent.
Hmm.
You don't need assault weapons to be violent.
Of course. All right. Yeah, well, that's like, you know, let me think. I'm looking at a list of his films, you know, from Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill. I mean, there's nothing but violent films. That's the whole thing. So, yeah. That's what he does.
Yeah, I had a kid from one of my digital video classes go out and do an internship with him one summer.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
That comes from money and position.
I guess so.
Although the kid was also very good.
Mm.
And he's he's produced TV shows now.
Yeah. Oh. Well.
I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I don't follow it very much. But we're closing in on 100,000 listens. I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, that's great.
81,150, and I even took most of the month of December off. Because I just couldn't do a show on Christmas Day.
Mm. Oh, you know, you had mentioned, I caught it just before I called in. You wanted to make math exciting or more interesting or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if this would help or not, but, you know, the whole... the whole area of fractals are very, very interesting.
You know, I did some stuff with fractals and art in the first term with a class, and it went very, very well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because the kids create things, you know. I mean, all this stuff comes out, you know, depending on the software you've got. And they can print them. And, I mean, they're, you know, original pieces.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And I've been interested in fractals since the Apple II. I tried to generate my first fractals on an Apple II.
Oh, geez, that's going way back.
Yeah, it is, and we left them. They had a run for days.
Yeah, I didn't start using them, I think, maybe about 10 years ago. I got involved with some groups, and I did some beta testing on software, and had a good time with it. I mean, I came up with all kinds of stuff.
The computers had finally caught up to the theory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you couldn't keep people interested long enough for the computers to, you run a program for 4 days, and the picture comes out like poop.
The ones I did were, of course, we had some rather good software. I had about maybe three or four applications.
But the real difference is the speed of the processors.
Well, I've always had fast computers, so, you know, yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you were at the commercial end.
Is that your TV?
I'm hearing something in the background.
Yeah, but it's on, like, really low. You might hear my ice maker. It just dumped a load.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, we didn't do much on New Year's Eve. I was sick this whole vacation, too.
Oh, jeez. Cold or something?
I didn't get my freaking flu shot.
See, and I did, and I actually regret it.
Why?
Well, because I went through 3 days of being sick, like I had the flu, and...
But that wasn't the flu shot.
Yeah, see, I haven't had prior to that, I hadn't had a flu shot in, like 8 or 9 years, and never had a cold, and never got the flu. And since I had that flu shot, one, I felt sick afterwards, and then about 2 weeks after that, I started to feel sick again, and I was like, what the hell's the point here? I've been healthy for years, and now this thing screwed me up.
All I can say is good thing you got that flu shot, and you never know how sick you would have been.
Yeah, well, you know, I know we do have a fair amount of that West Nile virus here. In fact, it's killed off an awful lot of birds, too. I really noticed it this summer. There were just very few birds around at all. But it tends to kill off the blue jays, crows and ravens. And we have these California magpies. And they're beautiful birds. And I used to have, there was a flock of them that hung around at the end of the street, and of course they were just wiped out. They're gone, you know.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I mean this. At least this year they didn't spray. Now that always sucks when they spray the Oh, it's a derivative. It's a natural poison that comes from chrysanthemums.
Uh-huh.
And so they spray at night. These prop planes go overhead spraying the hell out of everything. And they're low, too. I mean, I was out here once when it came right over my house spraying.
Well, it doesn't land on the thing you're trying to spray.
Well, apparently, you know, this stuff is a very fine mist, and then that gets on the mosquitoes, and the mosquitoes die. Well, it also kills anything else, you know, any other nocturnal.
Anything organic.
Yeah, you know. So, anyway, I have no idea if it worked or not. We also do this thing with these little, they're little fish. They're similar to guppies, and they call them mosquito fish.
Yes,
they
ponds.
Yeah, they. So we have huge ponds out here full of these things, and they siphon them up and spray them in all the canals and ditches. You know, I guess I don't know what that does. If it does anything, great.
No, with the mosquito fish, are just prolific breeders.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, they.
What happen? What do they do with? Well, you don't really have winter.
No, it's wet. Now we will get some overnights that will, you know, go below 32.
Well, that'll kill most of them.
And we get frost, of course, you know.
Uh-huh.
So you still have to watch your plants, or the frost will, you know, knock them down. And I guess you wouldn't. It's certainly not a buffalo winter by any means. So.
Yeah, buffalo's being pounded this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I've, you know, everybody's been posting pictures of their front porch, you know.
Yeah, my brother told me this is the first, like, last winter and the winter before, very seldom was the ground covered with snow.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this year, there's no question about it, but
yeah.
The snow covered the whole winter.
Yeah, well, I was in Buffalo last year, so, you know, and it was December, and there wasn't any snow. And
right, and they only got 36 inches the whole year.
Yeah.
They got 18 inches last weekend.
Ah. Well, yeah, no, I don't miss it, not at all. I remember digging my car out. I remember all
that.
Yeah,
but that all seems romantic now.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo, I don't know. But there's that, the old main office for Bethlehem Steel out there in Lackawanna.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful Art Deco building.
Oh.
It's gorgeous. They're just tearing it down.
Oh, damn.
They're tearing it. Yeah, well, they tore down, I think it was the Sullivan building. Frank Lloyd Wright for urban renewal. They put a parking lot there.
They wouldn't tear down a Frank Lloyd Wright building
Tore down a Frank Lloyd Wright building.
Hmm. Because it's one thing Buffalo had. Oh, hell.
The only thing it has is Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah, well, there's houses all over town.
Oh, absolutely, and there were buildings.
And for a while, I worked at the Larkin Warehouse.
Exactly.
You know, so.
I think it was the Sullivan Building.
Oh, let me take a check here.
Or maybe it was the Larkin Building.
Yeah, that was. Well, I mean, I didn't work there. I was in the 70s, but
This happened in the big urban renewal.
Okay, I'm taking a peek now. Yeah, I know one. That hotel he built in Tokyo, I know they had to take that down. There was no, it was just too damaged, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what can you expect?
They took down every building in Tokyo.
Well, I'm looking at a list here.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't see any.
But they did tear it down.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm looking at the Larkin now. So let's see. Yeah, there it is. Mm-hmm. Let's see. That story is enormous. I'm still scrolling. I wanted to get to the end of it. Yeah, let's see here.
Maybe it was the Larkin building.
Well, this says it was torn down in 1947. Now, I worked in the Larkin. There were numerous Larkin buildings. But, I mean, I did work in a Larkin warehouse. And it was enormous. In fact, we didn't even walk through it. It was so huge, everybody had forklifts, and you just traveled around on those. So, yeah, no, this building.
Somebody offered $500,000 for the building, and the city.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, this is not the building I worked in by no means. And it says that they took 4 years to tear it down.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Where was it again?
I'm trying to find it. I'm on the Buffalo.
The demolition began in February of 1950 and was completed by July.
Okay, well then. The original building.
Tear it down because the building was built to last forever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the building was completed in 1904 at a cost of $4 million. Now, I said it was incredibly innovative.
Okay, here
we go.
On November 24th, 1951, the Western Trading Company petitioned the Common Council to allow them to change the site of their proposed truck terminal from the Larkin site to a lot at Elk and Doyle Streets because it was less crowded.
Yeah, yeah.
They also stated that if they did build on the Larkin site, it would be a viable parking lot. Oh, this is where you must have worked, the Larkin Terminal Warehouse.
Yeah, it was just a monstrous building, enormous, you know. And
now stands on the site of Frank Lloyd Wright's greatest contribution to Buffalo.
Yeah, I just remembered something. Because within the building was the Buffalo Tannery. And I remember, because that part of the building, all you could smell was all that leather, you know. I don't know what they made at that time. I don't think they had much of a business then.
There was a big leather tannery in Gowanda, New York, too.
Mm-hmm.
I only know that because my cousins lived there, and they all worked at the tannery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, you know, like I say, it was smelly.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing I remember, it was full of all this ancient furniture, old office furniture, all that old oak stuff and that. And it, yeah, it was like going back in time, you know. But I didn't go in there very often, so. What we used to do, you know, was it was temporary type work. And so you had companies like their customer service department would be there. There would be no one working there, just us. We would fill in and do whatever needed to be done. But one of the places, companies I worked for, they made curling irons. And so the curling irons that were defective that people bought and they didn't work, they would send them in and they came to me, you know. So I would open up these boxes and pull these curling irons out. And sometimes they were just didn't work. They were clean and whatever. But other times, they were just caked with burnt hair. And all I could think of, these poor people. They went to curl their hair and they set it on fire. It was horrible. And then the letters they would write, oh, just full of tears. And but you know what these idiots would do? They'd have wet hair, or they'd have, you know, shampoo or conditioner or hairspray, and they were thinking they could still curl it. Well, of course you couldn't. You know, that's how the fire started. Yeah, that was sad. I granted nearly everybody a free curling iron. Because these letters were just so pathetic, and it's, oh, okay, lady, we'll give you another one, if you trust it. God. So, anyway, well, I'm hoping for a nice, quiet year, you know. I don't want any major events or excitement, nothing, you know. Just leave me the hell alone. I've even, you know, sort of made a half resolution to maybe not watch as much news as I do. I really think that would help, you know.
While we're talking here, I'm trying to figure out if the House voted yet.
They were, yeah, close. I have
vote tonight.
Yeah, I have the local news on right now. Let me, I can make a quick little flip here.
Well, I'm,
Let's see what we got. Well, MSNBC has nothing but prison.
Yeah, no, it's a holiday.
Yeah. Let's see. Hannity. I could watch him. Yeah, it looks like they're doing something from the floor.
Well, they're supposed to vote tonight. So it's going on right now.
Yeah, they're getting ready to vote. There's some speak. They got their kids running around the place. Look at that. Yeah, there's one thing about this. I mean, I looked it over. The Republicans aren't getting anything out of this. I mean, it's all Democratic pork, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and Republicans don't eat pork, huh?
Yeah, well, this one's all Democratic pork.
Oh, baloney.
Oh, come on, all those subsidies for alternative energy. How do they get that in there again? Good God.
What's the matter with alternative energy?
Fine. Let it compete on the market like everything else.
Well, then fine. Take away all the oil subsidies.
No problem there.
Yeah, no problem until they start doing it. And all your oil stocks start collapsing.
Oh, well, they don't, you know, that's the thing. Oil and gas really doesn't, they don't need those subsidies, you know. And I think we all know it. They know it, too, you know. But as far as alternative, you know, out here, the solar and wind, I mean, it's a disaster. Incredible amount of waste.
Oh, no worse than it was when they were trying to set up the original electric grids.
Yeah, well, Yeah, fortunately, no. Of course, they need a new grid. Of course, they want the government to pay for it, but
well, we need to figure out a way to store electricity.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we sold that battery company to China, didn't we? Well, that was automobile.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They weren't even close.
What, A123?
Yeah, no. It's a real problem that nobody's going to be able to. It's got to be a smart grid.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That would be nice. I mean, let's say they are actually able to recover the 40% of electricity they waste right now. You probably wouldn't need any of those solar and wind towers.
Well, they don't waste it.
Well, it doesn't get used.
Right, because it can't be stored.
Well, but then where does it go if it doesn't get wasted?
It just goes to ground.
Right. And it's gone forever.
That's true. But they can... I saw this brilliant explanation of this.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of electricity produced is constant.
Right, right.
The usage is not constant is the problem. And so there are periods where the amount produced is way more than the amount used.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem is transferring it to where it's needed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the idea of a smart grid. It knows how to do these things.
Yes, but a smart grid also becomes susceptible.
Yeah, susceptible.
First of all, to grid failure.
Oh, of course, yeah. But, you know, the way it is now, if somebody five blocks away from me hits a power pole, my power's out. Now I'm all state of the art. I've got all underground cables, and you know I should be just fine. But because some drunk hits that pole, we all lose our power.
Yeah, but that's minor. They fix that right away.
Yeah, well, it depends, you know. Sometimes it's worse than others.
Well, the best power failure around here this Christmas season was in Annapolis. There's this giant mall in Annapolis, the state capital, no less.
Mm.
But it's giant. It's called Annapolis Mall. Quarter to nine on one of the busiest shopping days of the season. Two transformers in Annapolis blow up.
Mm.
The city goes black for an hour and a half.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, it was chaos at the mall.
Oh, yeah. Well,
half their profits probably went out the door.
Yeah, we had, what, about 10 years or so, and we had the rolling blackouts, you know. And then, we found out it was all artificial, contrived, you know.
They have them around here in the summer.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. We normally should not have that kind of trouble. Because, one, I'm in a municipal district. And they generate... the majority of their power is generated here, either through small hydroelectric plants or solar or this or that, whatever they, you know, the majority of it, you know, is generated right here. So we're in the grid, but we're somewhat insulated from it.
Well, that's actually like Buffalo. When they had that big power failure in 67, Buffalo didn't go out.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute,
because
Buffalo.
No. Buffalo's power is produced at the Huntley plant right down in the harbor, and that's a coal-burning plant.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo at least at that time, and I'm pretty sure it's still the same, did not get its power from Niagara Falls.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Really? And the reason is because in 1901, for the Pan American Exhibition, Buffalo came online as the first city with an electrical power grid.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Niagara Falls then.
Oh.
And so they had to build a power plant to support, you know, for this exhibition.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the Huntley plant.
Oh, okay.
Now whether,
I didn't know that.
Whether it's still that way, and in fact, in its heyday, Buffalo Harbor, you know, 1957, 1958, right when the St. Lawrence Seaway opened, they would get anywhere from 25 to 35 ships a day.
Mm-hmm.
And the last harbor season, they got 26 ships all summer.
Yeah, well, didn't... Now, was the Welland Canal built before the Seaway?
The what?
Did it,
did it come afterwards,
or I don't remember.
Did what come afterwards?
The Welland Canal.
Well, the Welland Canal actually is part of the Seaway project.
Oh, okay, because I always thought, you know, obviously that's how they got around to the fall.
Yeah, it couldn't have the In fact, they built the Welland Canal before the Seaway because there was
they
no
okay.
building
okay.
the Seaway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Welland Canal wasn't a sure thing
because
it goes around Niagara Falls.
Yeah, yeah.
It's where Stoney and the Boys came from.
Yes, I know. Yeah,
I wonder if he's still alive.
Yeah, hard to say. You know, I, you know, had thought I could find things on Crystal Beach and, you know, like blogs or whatever, but really not things that we wouldn't know about, you know, the cottage community and that.
Right, but Carl, you got to remember, we were on the young side of that community.
Yeah, right, right.
So half those people are in their 70s.
Yeah, that's kind of true, too.
That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Hey, there is a great website I think you might like.
Mm.
It's called Retro Buffalo.
Oh, okay. I may have been there, because remember I found all those old jingles, you know, radio commercials and that?
Mm-hmm.
And...
No, my sister. My sister sent me a great Christmas gift this year. Just a T-shirt with a Bethlehem Steel emblem on the front.
Mm.
And so I had to find out who made this thing.
Mm.
It's this company called Retro Buffalo.
Yeah, I just found it.
This Duke, this, I don't know if it's a husband and a wife or not, but a man.
Oh,
a
yeah, here's Crystal Beach, Bethlehem Steel.
Yes.
Melody Fair.
Yes.
Red Barn, the Ground Round. Oh,
how about the Ground Round? Yes, that's
yeah.
my favorite.
God.
They need a J.P. Bullfeathers.
Yeah.
Although they're still functioning.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, they had a good business there, yeah. Yeah, well, they had some.
Like these two people, they worked for a big graphics company in Williamsville.
Mm.
Then they got the idea for these Retro Buffalo T-shirts,
mm-hmm.
and they started screen printing them, I guess, in their basement.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And so they quit their jobs, and they published books about Crystal Beach. And
oh, really? I'll have to...
Yeah. Well, anyway, we got 25 seconds left, mm-hmm. and this was great. Kickoff for 2013. And remember, Beth knows assault weapons. I've decided during this show I don't need to defend myself that badly that kids without their second teeth even are being slaughtered. I'm out of here. Hey, 2363, you're just a little late. I hope you come next week. If you want to say something, get it onto the tape for this week. But I'm glad you can come in. It's been a great Norm at Night. We're still recording, anybody that's still here, and it'll be on the tape or on the archive version. So 2363, the guy who just came or woman who just came to the chat room, if you got something to say, say it now, please. Hey, I'm glad you're just a listener, and we'll see you next week. And remember, if it's Tuesday and it's 9 o'clock, you're listening to Norm at Night. Talk to you next week.
Okay, take care, man. Good night.
Bye-bye.